Let's recap a little bit on where we are in our series and where we're going today. Today is indeed looking at the Spirit through the prophets, as the second verse of the hymn we just sang implied. And for me, it's been a particularly satisfying set of discoveries to enjoy. We're doing this series on the Holy Spirit for a number of specific reasons, as we've mentioned in the last 2 weeks. One is there is strong public interest in spirituality. What does it mean to be a spiritual person? How can I get in touch with my spiritual side? What do you and I have to say to answer those questions? How can we recognize our own spiritual life as a dynamic and enlivening part of our world and share something with someone else as well that can encourage them in discovering God afresh? There is great public interest in it. I'm also keen to take time thinking about the Holy Spirit because I simply want you to enjoy your faith and to have a rising sense of enjoyment of what it means to be a follower of God these days. And that is based not just on very heightened delusional skills, but on the ability to understand how the people of God over thousands of years have discovered and known the life of God at work, met it face to face in the person of Jesus, and know it moving within them and among them in the Spirit. That long-term grounded appreciation of how God has worked among his people is a credible foundation for our faith today and a credible foundation for a faith that we can share from here on too. It's well worth getting our heads around as a result. And the third of a six-pack of reasons around these things is I want us to take spiritual responsibility for ourselves. That's what adults do. And I want you to have an adult faith where you are able to increasingly understand the foundations for your faith, make choices in light of them, and know that it's something that you're following God today, not just something that is a habit of our own personal background or family heritage or whatever. They're some of the foundations I want us to enjoy. So far in this series, we have taken some time to look at the reasons why we're talking about the Spirit. And last week, we took time to look at Genesis and Psalms. And in that, we noted a God who is the Spirit of God at work in creation, both in Genesis 1 and in Genesis 2, two quite different ways of unpacking the formation of the world. But the Spirit of God at work in both, forming life and breathing into us. And I'd say physically and spiritually, the breath we now know is a consequence of the breath of God, of the life of God reviving us and giving us breath. And that this is a Spirit who knows us fully, that there are no surprises for God about who we are, about what we're made of, and about our longings, but selfish ones and selfless ones. There are no surprises to God. Sometimes we may surprise ourselves when our honesty rises, but then we're just catching up with how God already sees us and welcomes us along the way. Last week and this week again, we're going to notice that we're talking about the Spirit who has always been at work among God's people. It's not like the Spirit was invented sometime after Jesus. This is a Spirit who was always at work, was at work in the person of Christ, and is that same Spirit who is at work among his people now. That's why we're here. That's what got us this far. That's what teases us forward into our future. So for this week, to give you a quick little heads up, and then we'll pause and give you a chance to catch your breath, we're going to take some time to build a wider appreciation of the Spirit's effect on us. I want us to promote a more collective experience of the Spirit. And then thirdly, to recognise how an individualistic faith, not just a personal faith, but a private faith, can actually undermine how God wants to work in us. So there we shall go. Let's take a moment to, I'm going to give you a moment to pray, get your head around what we've just shared, and open yourself to where we will go next. Let's take a moment of quiet, and then I'll lead you in prayer. Our Lord and God, it is good for us to be here. It is good for our spirits to rest in quiet, to catch up with ourselves. And we appreciate that within us personally, but we also appreciate the chance for that to become real together too. That we are catching up with one another and together with what you want to do in us and through us. Lord, let this be a time of your Spirit's authorship, of your Spirit revealing to us the word you have written in us, the calling to which you want us to rise to, the chance to live and live far more deeply than we ever knew was possible so far. Thank you for this great gift now. Amen. Evil is back. I do love Messing with Cameras, and I couldn't resist using it as a chance for a children's talk either. But I particularly love fitting new and old together. As you might have picked up, there is the new camera, younger than all of our flame kids, and a very good get on eBay, by the way. And this is what it looks like when you go monstrous with it. That, for those of you who need to know, that is a Canon FD, constant f4, 70 to 210, one-touch zoom lens. You all got that now? It's a beautiful... Do you want me to go over that again? No, it's all right. It's a beautiful bit of 70s technology. And a very satisfying lens to use. It's got very warm colours and such, as you'll see in just a moment. But what sticks, what would have been $1,000 worth of lens, and if I bought the camera new, it would have been, I don't know, $400 worth of lens. What holds the old and the new together? Well, it's this little thing here. It's called an adapter. So one end of it fits the old lens. The other end fits onto the new camera body. It's an adapter. It's $11 from Hong Kong. Postage paid. It's a cheap, simple little thing, and yet it opens up all sorts of possibilities, stuff we really wouldn't have thought was credible sometime beforehand. It produces things like this. Anyone know this boy? That's how he looked, what? 3/4 of an hour ago when he was sitting down the front. It's a beautiful sight. It's a beautiful smile, isn't it? I've got him focused on the hair, not on the eyes. It's an old problem, but never mind, we'll survive. I love the capacity to adapt new to old. That's an example of fitting new and old together from just earlier this morning. I reached for other examples, which were slightly less nerdy, of adapting new to old. And I'll give you a moment to tell me if you can think of any. This is the only other one that comes to mind for me. This is ye oldie recipe book from our family home. And this is my sister-in-law Kerry's muffin recipe. I'm not even sure if she invented it, or was it handed down to her along the way? Who knows? Such stories are lost in antiquity. But if I'd been better organised and if I hadn't sat back and watched Top Gear last night, I would have made you some muffins from Kerry's muffin recipe, because they are beautiful, really delicious. A way of taking an ancient recipe and bringing life to it now. Any other examples that come to mind for connecting new and old? Ring for you? Nah. I think you get the idea as we go along. The passages that we've heard today and that we're sitting with, and I'm going to go with one other in addition to the ones you heard, show how God is inspiring his people, his Spirit inspiring his people in the prophets and through the prophets in times past. Here we find God's Spirit empowering people with God's mission for justice and compassion, and we've heard this in Isaiah 42. I've bathed him with my Spirit, my life. He'll set everything right among the nations. This is a beautiful image of God's servant, empowered by his Spirit, whose job is simply that, to set everything right among the nations. Not just our nation, not just us, but all the nations of all the world. The same sense comes through in Isaiah 61, which we're more familiar with when we read a different version of it in Luke chapter 4. Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is sovereign Lord, is upon me. For the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. Do you get a sense of what the Spirit wants to do? Get a sense of the Spirit's longings? How she wants to transform and bring justice and compassion into people's experiences? Can I encourage you, particularly if you're in a small group, can I encourage you to read beyond just the verses that are in the study guide? So read through at least the first half of Isaiah 42, read through the first half of Isaiah 61. It'll reinforce it all the more of this Spirit empowering God's people, not just to be rowdy, not going to make his voice heard in the street. Rather, as Isaiah 42 says, a bruised reed he will not snap off. And a dimly burning wick, he's not going to snuff it out. He sees the fragile and the dimly burning, and his compassion pours his ministry into that space. So enjoy those passages from Isaiah through this week. The Spirit of God not only empowers God's people for compassion and justice, but also restores God's people too. And these images from Ezekiel are so provocative and so enlivening. God's Spirit raises people beyond their hopeless and lifeless state. God's Spirit raises us beyond our hopeless and lifeless state. Here in Ezekiel 11, you get one sense of it. I will give them a singleness of heart and put a new spirit within them. I will take away their stony, stubborn heart and give them a tender, responsive heart. This is God, the heart transplant surgeon from a little bit earlier in time. A God who transforms the things which we feel locked up in and trapped in, those habits of heart and mind which just seem so rigid and unmoving. And God offers us by his grace this new beginning and these new possibilities. And if that image isn't provocative enough, Ezekiel 37, I still delight in it and I'm still amazed by it. It's certainly a picture of the people in Ezekiel's day, and many could relate to it as an image of the people of God today too. And yet God doesn't leave them where they are. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Look, I'm going to put my breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscle on you and cover you with skin. Not just that. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. And then you will know that I am the Lord. What an astonishing promise and inspiring sense of hope comes with this. We know we're not completely the sort of people God wants us to be. We know that the church these days struggles. We know that in the eyes of many in our community, the church is a set of dry bones lying in a desert. Something that used to live but now has zero relevance and zero currency and zero impact on our world around us. And even if that is the case, God's not done with us. God's still able to breathe life back into us, to give us our body back again, and to give us our breath back again, and cause us to live and move and have our being in God. That however far we might think we have fallen short or just fallen away, personally or collectively from who God wants us to be, we are a long way short of what God can do in his resurrection power. And this image is so evocative in Ezekiel. And this image is realized in the resurrection of Christ. And this image is realized every time the people of God rise up to fully take up their roles and their responsibilities afresh. The power of God, even beyond our most hopeless and our most lifeless state. Thirdly, the God who inspires us. And for this, we turn and delight in the prophet Joel. Because we want us to be filled with a strong sense of future, even when facing challenges. And the prophet Joel was well aware of the challenges facing God's people, and yet they're not defined and limited by the challenges that surround them. Rather, this is the promise that he offers, familiar words for many of us. Then, after doing all those things, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men and women will dream dreams, and your young men and women will see visions. And in those days, I will pour out my spirit even on servants. Men and women alike. Everyone's in on the game. Everyone is in on the work of the Spirit, transforming and bringing life along the way. And I love this sense of visions and dreams unfolding among God's people. And this week it rises up for me a bit like this. It's like the young will capture a vision that will carry them all through their living days. And the old will carry dreams that will reach even beyond their days. I think I'm actually in the second category now. But even so, picture that the Spirit of God is one who gives vision that orients us for all of our living days, and dreams that give meaning for us to give our lives for something which is rich even beyond our days. Visions and dreams running within the people of God, a resurrected people of God, transforming the world around us. How cool is that? Is that what we're here for? I'm hoping you came more than my excellent guitar skills. I'm hoping you came to realize that it's dreams and visions that God wants to pour into us. That is resurrection life that he wants to fill us with. That it is his compassion and mercy that he wants to use us to transform the world around us. That's what we're here for. That's what God offers us the chance to buy into. A vision, a dream. for all of these possibilities, astonishing as it is. I want to offer you a dream and a vision that rises up in me now, to put some words for what I would sense is God's Spirit, that God's Spirit would fill us, and that that filling would be seen occasionally by laughter, but predominantly by compassion, by the compassion of God filling you and I and empowering us, transforming us for this vision. That every seeker of God, every seeker of God, has a safe place to ask their questions. And that would be true for you, and it'd be true for everyone else in Canterbury as well, that everyone in Canterbury has a safe place where they can come and ask their questions. That every young person has a vision that fills their future, and it's a vision that comes from God. Do we want that? Do we want every young person in Canterbury to have a vision from God that fills their future? I certainly do. And I want us to be filled that every older person has dreams, dreams that inspire them through and beyond their life, that every moment continues to have value and currency because they're building to something even greater from here on. That is growing among us as his people. For us to have dreams and visions. And this topic's been relevant this week, and I think it's equally true for us. That every person in Canterbury can have access to a church. And frankly, that's far more difficult than any of us would like to admit. But that every person who has a disability can still access church and can still come to worship with God's people. And that for every isolated, housebound person in this community has a visitor every week. That no one who's housebound, and there are plenty of them in our neighbourhood, goes through their whole week without anyone coming to visit them. It's my longing that every child in this community can play and learn in absolute warmth and safety. And that we're a church who is known to be a safe place for children and for adults, and that this is a place where that warmth and safety can grow, and this is accessible for them too. Do you want that? Not just for the children, but that every teenager has a trusted friend and does not feel that they're on their own. And not only that, that they also feel they've got an adult who believes in them, who regards them as another adult, and another person who is also an adult, just a younger version, and they're discovering life and they're learning to get on with life together as well. Do you want that? The longings rise and they continue to. Just a few more closing thoughts. I long that every parent has backup, and that that backup is from beyond their family too. I'm very, very mindful of how hard family members work, and grandparents too, in providing care. And it's beautiful that that happens. But could it not also be that families are not just locked within their own cycle, but also find friends and connections beyond that who support them and cause them to live? Is that part of what it means to be God's people? Absolutely. And that every worker has a mentor, someone who will bring the best out of them, and that people aren't locked in places where they can't get any sense of encouragement and can't see a reason to continue on in their role. In other words, that everyone may discover the God of compassion and justice. May discover Jesus the Son. And may discover the Spirit, God's ongoing life among us all. That is the longing, that is the dream, that is the absolute desire that gives me the reason to stand here and dare to step up into the kind of ministry God asks me to. And I invite every one of you to dare to step up into the kind of ministry God asks you to, as one piece of that or another piece of the vision that's called on us. So what? The reality is that we are the adapters. We are those little links between the lens and the camera. We are the people who link together the life of God known in us and the community that longs to make those connections. We are the ones who make it possible for these things to happen. And we are the ones that God wants to use for this purpose to be fulfilled. You with me? You with me in this discovery? That this journey in the Spirit is something that we share now? I long so much for this to be the case. I'm going to take the prerogative now of just giving us a moment for prayer. And I'm sorry to the musos, I'm not going to do that final song, because I just want us to have a time when you can pray now and when you can share. And you can say to God just what you need to say. I feel like dry bones. Lord, help me to live. Lord, I recognize I haven't been living with the compassion I should. Let me show that to others. Lord, I want to be open to your dream and your vision in my life. Fill me with that, I pray. Lord, as your people bow to pray, help them to realize the thing that they need to say. May your Spirit sigh and move in them. Hear the sighs that words can't wrap around.